Today's Tuesday, April 9th. Here's a little piece of what's coming up on the mayor's office.
It's a joy to watch Elly De La Cruz hit a ball 450 feet, then get an inside the park home run, then beat out an infield single and play elite defense. Like, it's fun, man. It's fun if you're a baseball fan. If you're a Cincinnati Reds fan right now, you're looking at that team and you're looking at him going, let's go. Our future looks bright in Cincinnati. And I'm in love.
We're doing good, bro. You're at my neck of the woods these days. I saw you had a nice night last night with a couple folks. What's going on?
Oh, man. I went back to the Bronx last night, dude. It was really, really good to be back there, man. Boone left me some tickets, which was great. Very thankful for that. And it was in the Legends Club, which, dude, that place is incredible. Have you ever been to Legends Club? Like, I didn't want to leave because I just wanted to keep eating, like, bone crabs and prime rib and sushi. And I'm like, this is unbelievable. Like, ice cream. It was just incredible. So I went with Brian Kenny and Sarah and some of Brian's family was in from County Mayo, Ireland, legitimately, to see, I believe, Irish football was in the Bronx on Sunday.
Yeah, his family is straight. His family is like straight out of one of those like pictures you see of Ireland, dude. They're like, they're in it.
Rural Ireland. I mean, like, out in the sticks, Ireland.
Wait, I got a super quick story about him. So there's this place in Montauk. It used to be called Kenny's Tipperary Inn. Like, right out there, like, way on the back end of Montauk by this place called Gosman's Dock, where, like, really where the ship guys are from. Like, where, like, the captain from Jaws, like, loosely based off of some of those guys out there. There's a place, Kenny's Tipperary Inn. And it was like this Irish, like, shack looking place, but it was a nice restaurant, like a pub place. And I was sitting across from BK at work one day, and he's like, oh, yeah, that's just like Kenny's Tipperary Inn back in the day. And I go, Kenny's Tipperary Inn. I go, the best bay clams in the history of the world. And he goes, what? He goes, how do you know about Kenny's Tipperary Inn? I'm like, dude, I'm from Long Island. I'm like, when we would go on vacation, we would go to Kenny's Tipperary Inn for these baked clams. They were huge and stuffed. He goes, that's my family's.
What?
Like, my family owns that place. I was like, what? You're Kenny? I always thought it was Kenny something.
Oh, that's Kenny. No way.
Tipperary Inn. I told him, I'm like, dude, those are the best baked clams in the history of the world. He goes, we were known for them. I'm like, of course you were. I'm like, twice. We would go out there twice every summer. My dad would go and he'd be like, this is my vacation, not yours. Like,
that was a big, no way. You're eating the clams.
And we would go there at least once every time, twice a year. And we would go to Kenny Superior, and it was the Brian Kenny family owned this.
That's incredible, dude. That's incredible. Well, BK's dad directly off the boat in Ireland. He told me a good story really quick. He said when his dad was like getting accustomed to America, the reason he loved baseball was he was like, he thought it was American. Like, if you're in America, you got to love America's pastime. You got to become a baseball fan. So he said his dad was coaching him 12-year-old baseball. His dad had no idea what he's doing, but he's like, I got to learn this game because we're in America and you got to love baseball if you're in America. So I think that's so cool. And think about Brian Kenny's life. You know what I mean? Like, he's the guy that does all MCs, the Cooperstown Hall of Fame every year, all the stuff he does for the network, MLB Now, all the stuff. He's a historian, all because his dad came over from Ireland and all of a sudden was like, we got to be baseball fans. Cause if you're in America, you are true Americans are baseball fans. I just think, well, he told me that story last night. I thought it was so cool.
That's a really great story. That's a great story. Yeah. Great guy. I know not everybody loves analytics, folks, but BK's a good guy, folks.
He's great. BK's great, man. And I also think BK loving the analytics and doing what he's doing, I mean, has helped the game too, because it helps people get inside of what they're looking at in the clubhouse.
I agree. Now, all right. So wait, we did a poll question I put four things on this poll question this morning, and we got tons of responses. Hold on, we're on tons, hundreds and hundreds of responses just in this short time.
Love it.
I'm going to give you the four things, but we're gonna start with the Yankees no matter what, because you were just there. But here's what I said. What was the coolest thing that happened in MLB last night? We got Ellie's inside the park homer. We got the Padres' epic comeback, came back from eight down. And I wrote Soto/Volpe's Bronx bombs. And then the Mets' big bats beat Braves. Say that. Can you say that quick?
Big bats beat Braves.
Yeah, there you go. It was a runaway. I'll say that first. It was a runaway, pun intended, Ellie, 82.4%.
Dude, let's talk about that first then, bro.
Well, okay, good.
That's what the fans want. They want to talk Ellie. Let's talk Ellie.
All right.
Okay. Hey, listen, man. I'll tell you what. When I threw the first pitch out the other day for opening day for the Reds, you know, I was in the dugout saying hi to Dave Bell and some of those guys, you know, Fraley, some of the guys I know, Freddie Benavidez. Ellie De La Cruz came out and was putting his helmet up. And so I was like, hey, what's up, Ellie? I was like, big number, man, 44. Eric Davis, Adam Dunn, you know, some great players have worn 44. And he was like, the legends. Like, he said something like, the Giants. I go, yeah, the Giants. I go, dude. Talk about the Giants. This guy's huge. Had no idea how big he is. Not only is he fast, I mean, he's tall and lean, but he's pretty big dude. So being next to him, I'm like, wow. And I was thinking to myself, to be that tall and pretty jacked and to be able to run the way he does. I mean, obviously his strides are incredible. But I think one thing with Ellie De La Cruz, dude, there's certain people in this game. When you watch them run, you're like, man, hit one in the gap because I want to watch you run. I remember Jacoby Ellsbury was like that. Deion Sanders was like that. Guys that I played with, I'm like, man, I hope they hit a ball in the gap because I want to watch them run. It's the thing of beauty. So when Ellie hit that ball yesterday, dead center, and the center fielder laid out, made that diving play, and then he missed it. Dude, did you see the crowd come to their feet?
Uh-huh.
The crowd just came to their feet because we all thought, oh, here we go, baby. Like, this is the guy you want to see run wide open. And when Ellie rounded first and he was on a roll, man, it literally looked like Usain Bolt coming around those bases. It looked like three strides in between the bases before he scored, dude. And he scored, and he scored easily.
Yeah.
That's how fast he is. There wasn't 14 seconds around the base or something ridiculous. He was flying.
Yeah. Yeah. And he wasn't even like – that wasn't like – he wasn't like in full sprint mode from the beginning. He did that with – like he wasn't coasting, but he was motoring. If you notice when he turned – first of all, he turned third base. The fact, again, to be that big and to be able to cut corners that well is not easy either. When he turned – when he rounded third base – he put like a little extra gear on. That's the other thing you see with like the super fast guys. They're so fast. You
see another gear.
Yeah, in football, somebody has an angle, and then all of a sudden there's that second burst. It's something I'm very jealous of. It's pretty awesome. But dude, not only that, he hit a bomb to Adam Dunn territory before that. And he beat out a grounder to third, scored the first run of the game. The guy is electric. I don't care what anybody says. The guy is as electric a baseball player as there is in a game.
No, dude. I mean, I'm telling you, when you look at the game and you look at what Ronald Acuna did last year and you see 40-70, you're like, 40-70, 40 stolen bases or 40 home runs and 70 stolen bases. And then you start to look at the body of work of who are some guys that might be able to do that. And like you think – Bobby Witt Jr. is maybe one of them. And then you think Ellie De La Cruz. Ellie De La Cruz has the speed to steal 70 bags and has the power to hit 40 home runs. There's not many dudes in the league that have the chance to do it, let alone the abilities to do it. So, I mean, and I think he's only going to get better, man. I really believe it. You can't teach experience in the big leagues. The more you play, the more you're out there, the more you understand how these pitchers are trying to pitch you, the more you face guys over and over, the better you're going to get. And like I said, it's a joy to watch Ellie De La Cruz hit a ball 450 feet, then get it inside the park home run, then beat out an infield single and play elite defense. Like, it's fun, man. It's fun. If you're a baseball fan, if you're a Cincinnati Reds fan right now, you're looking at that team and you're looking at him going, let's go. Our future looks bright in Cincinnati.
Yeah, very cool. And you just said it, perfect segue. You can't teach experience. one guy that got experience last year, which, by the way, we can't undercut the fact that this guy was had a bunch of stolen bases. He was a Gold Glover, but you got a front row seat to your little brother, Anthony Volpe, last night, dude. Unbelievable.
Dude, this guy, you know, you talk about a guy that's more prepared than anybody in the game, and he loves baseball. He doesn't realize he's getting paid. He's one of those guys like, I just want to do so well. You know, I'm still up early. Takes a million ground balls before, you know, you watch him play defense. Like, man, is he good? Yeah, he works at it. Every day he's out there early taking grounders. And, you know, some guys are going through the motions. Like, Volpe is, like, playing through the ball on the run. Like, every rep he takes is with intention, right? In the cages, his routines, everything he does, and his process at the plate. It's just, like you said, you can't teach experience. It makes me think of Jackson Holliday, dude. They send down Jackson Holliday, whatever, to start the clock later. They need him now, man. Let's stop with that stuff and get him up here. Good for the Yankees and Brian Cashman last year saying, you know what? Anthony Volpe's made this team out of spring. We're bringing him day one, and we're starting the clock. Now, listen, at the end of the day, Chinch, that experience Volpe had last year in the big leagues for that year, the ups and the downs and the – and, you know, I think the struggles taught him more than anything. You know, he's never hit 205, 210 in his life. So it taught him, okay, what adjustments do I need to make? How do I adjust back? And the great players in this game, dude, make the adjustments. You're looking at Volpe through the first 11 games this season. You're going, wow, this guy's made some adjustments. His swing's a little more flat. He's driving the ball the other way. He's not swinging and missing at so many pitches. He's not swinging uphill, right? And then – the biggest thing, too, is when you start to cover the other side of the field, Chinch, like when he drives the ball the other way, noticed last night on his three-run home run was a slider or was a curveball, you know, out over the plate that he drove to left. And I always say, I remember talking to Miguel Cabrera last year about hitting, and the best hitters say, I take the fastball middle away the other way, and anything with spin on it with that path ends up going for a home run the other way. And you saw Juan Soto do it last night too. He got a fastball down the middle, 96. He shoots it down the left field line, right, opposite field. Comes up later, gets a changeup, 87, and shoots it to right for a three-run bomb.
Yep.
So the best hitters, man, are really using both lines and using that other way to their advantage. And when you watch Volpe, that's what he's really doing this season that's been so impressive. And another thing, Chinch, he made two plays last night that other people aren't making. You know, up the middle to his left, and then he made that play to his right that always like, well, can Volpe make the play to his right? Yes, dude. Makes the one-hop pick, slide, comes up, bam, and makes the throw, gets the guy by like 7 feet. You know, so he's got a good arm, better arm than you think,
right?
And his feet are just incredible out there.
Yeah, I sent you this yesterday, but I'll read it out loud to the fans. This was entering play yesterday. Last season, Volpe pulled the ball in 45.6% of his at-bats when the ball was in play. It is 26.9 this year, comparatively.
20% less.
That's entering play yesterday. And, dude, he's leading the major leagues in hitting. He's tied with somebody right now. Hold on.
I think he's number one in war, too.
He's number one in war. Him and Arcia are both hitting .417, dude. And that's not like a couple days, dude. We got about a week and a half. We got some at bats under.
Yeah, he's got 50 at bats under his belt, not like five.
Yeah, .417, dude. And it doesn't look like any signs of slowing down because, like you said, he's not trying. He did not try to hit that home run last night. He didn't try.
No,
to hit that home run, not even close. Like you said,
that's the bat path, dude. If you get your bat path correct to right, it shows up to left perfect because it's in the zone longer. Right, it drops in. You're riding that, and it's that little lag of your bat, and all of a sudden, your eyes are on it, and then you're just a little through it, and you catch it a little out front, and that's your launch angle. You know, people are trying to generate launch angle. Launch angle is where you catch the ball. So if you have the right bat path and you catch the ball a little out front, it's gonna go up. The ball's gonna go up on that angle. So that's how you. If guys could take 600 at bats with that approach and not waste a pitch, you'd see some bigger numbers in the league.
Yeah. Oh, well, it's really great to see. It's fun over there. It was not fun in on the other side of town in Queens for the Mets in the beginning of the season. Everybody's worried. The fans here are absolutely bonkers. 4-5, dude. and they just went into Hotlanta and battled. And I got to give credit to your buddy, Carlos Mendoza, came into that game yesterday. You know, they have been struggling. They're on a nice little streak. He was dead set. I cannot pitch some of my relievers because I've been destroying them. Plus, they had the rainouts and all that. So he's like, these are the guys that are playing in this game. These are the pitchers that I have. And the offense stepped up. Brandon Nimmo stepped up. But yeah, he did not waver. He didn't get scared. Not that he's ever going to get scared, but like he didn't like think, maybe I should bring Diaz in. Maybe I should bring Diaz in. No, he stuck with his guns and they wound up hanging on for that big win. And now they've won 4 of 5.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing changed is Carlos Mendoza. He's managing the minors. He's been a bench coach in the big leagues. He's been around long enough. You know it's a marathon, not a sprint. So these guys know, man, like I just can't. We as fans go, how come you're not bringing in Diaz? Dude, he's got the heartbeat of that team, knowing that like I got 162 here. Like I can't keep running the same guys out every night. And you also have to show guys in the bullpen or other guys that you believe in them too. It's a long year. We're gonna need everybody. So you gotta lean on some of those guys too. So, you know, great job for Mendoza, making sure that he was having the right matchups. And you know, that's a huge win for them, man. Huge win.
Yeah, and here's another thing. Talk about, you know, your first year with the team. You're learning these guys. They obviously have faith in them. He moved Nimmo to left field. He put McNeil in the outfield yesterday because they have to make some like roster moves, whatever. And I heard his press conference before. He was like, I talked to the guys. They bought in. They were all in. I appreciate them as players. But like, you're this early in the season. You're like, hey, I'm moving you guys around a little bit. And for them to trust him, whatever it takes, Skip, let's win some games. That's good for the Mets. Good sign for the Mets after a really rough start to the season. Yeah.
Great sign, dude. Great sign for the Mets. And good to see like Nimmo, some of these bats getting going too.
Yeah, for sure. Oh, you saw it. I mean, Nimmo hit some bombs yesterday. All right, let's move on again. This finished second in our poll. The Padres' epic comeback with exclamation point when Tatis is bombed towards the end of the night.
Dude, when you go down 8-0, that's a big one to come back from. But I tell you what, when you go down 8-0 early, I've seen it so many times. You know, you start kind of maybe relax a little bit, and all of a sudden there's one run, there's two runs. You know, obviously the Padres put up 7 in the sixth. Mm-hmm. I think they put up 7 in the sixth or the seventh.
Yeah.
But you know, Cronenworth gets it started. Bogey hits a 2-run bomb. Got a couple guys on. Sack fly in there too. Like they put up 7 runs, and then then Tatis obviously goes deep, and nothing better than a Don Orsillo call, bro. When he's like, oh, it's Tatis. I was with Don in Boston in 08. Just a great guy. I've done some games with him too in the booth. So I love his calls when guys come up with big home runs. So yeah, what a game for the Padres. And what a confidence booster, you know, for those guys. And on the flip side, that's a tough one to lose for the Cubs. Mm-hmm. You know, you never want to be up 8-0 and lose 9-8. That's a tough one.
Yeah, no, that was a tough one. Wait, there was one more I had on here. What did I forget here? No, that's how I covered everything right there. That's the 4 in our thing. So again, Ellie's Inside the Parker got 82.8% of the vote. Padres got 7.9%. Soto and Volpe got 6.4%, and the Mets got 3%. No love for the Mets last night.
Wow. Wow, dude, Ellie, hey, listen, we're going to see a lot more Ellie De La Cruz, bro. That's impressive.
Yeah, it's impressive. I love all the young guys. I love what's going on. What we haven't even talked about, Mike Trout hit his 5th homer. He's also leading the major leagues.
Dude, I was just going to say, let's not forget about Mike Trout. Oh, by the way, he's still maybe the best player in the game.
Yeah. And kind of almost like a little – like, he doesn't play, like, looking like he has an edge. But, hey, you lose Ohtani. Everybody's like, oh, Trout, he's not one of the big guys anymore. Kind of feels like he has a little bit of an edge, dude. He has got – he's hitting bombs left and right all over the place. Hold on. I think I got – I found a stat. Oh, projections right now. He's projected for – it's very early in the season, but he's projected for 81 home runs.
Love it.
He's hit 5 home runs in 10 games. He's hitting a home run every other game, which is
incredible.
Awesome. And by the way, just slide this in there. Shohei Ohtani has had multi-hit games in 5 straight games now, first time in his career, which I was a little surprised. I thought he would have more than, but pretty cool, huh?
That's incredible. You know, you just think about how good Betts and Freeman are, and then, you know, Ohtani's just in, you know, in that lineup too. It's just phenomenal.
Yeah, we're off to a great start this season, man. You just got a fresh too. We got to get your boy on who cuts.
Yeah, we got to get Davey Cuts on, man. He got me a custom cut today. You know, he does the Knicks, Giants, and the Yankees. Guys all over the place, all over New York, man.
Yeah, and he's got a great personal story though. Don't even bring it up now. It's a great
story. Yeah, we'll get him on. We'll get him on. He'll have some good stuff.
I want to talk a little Jalen Brunson with him too about some
Knicks. Yeah, oh dude, he cuts Brunson's hair.
So cool. What a gig, man. Think about when you're growing up, like, oh, maybe I'll cut hair for a living. And now you're like,
yeah,
he's a celebrity. Yeah. He's about as big a celebrity as those guys.
That's incredible.
All right, you're getting after it today. What show are you on?
All right, man. Yeah, I'm doing MLB tonight with Dempster. We got a little, a little breakdown.
Oh, cool.
We got some breakdowns. I think some Yankee stuff, maybe some LA De La Cruz. I'm looking at Spencer Steer, too, NL Player of the Week. I mean, raking, too. So, the Reds have some guys come out the gates hot.
Yeah. All right. Excellent. Okay. Fun stuff. And we're going to keep moving. And, oh, by the way, you're on McAfee today in case anybody.
Oh, yeah. Pat McAfee. 1 o'clock today. 1:10.
Yeah. 1 o'clock. Hey, tell everybody on McAfee show to like and subscribe to our show.
I will, dude. I will. Also, too, I'm on Seth Meyers tomorrow night, too. I got a lot of action.
You were on Seth Meyers. You've done it since the beginning of the network. You and Millar used to.
This will be my eighth time on Seth Meyers.
That's so crazy.
So funny.
Do you know it's very close. So at some point, what's his name? Has got to retire, Lorne Michaels.
At some point
in his life, he's got to retire from doing Saturday Night Live.
And Seth might take over.
Seth, the three big names are Seth, Tina Fey, and who's the guy? Oh my God, Kenan Thompson.
Oh yeah, dude, they would be awesome. They would be. Well, Seth was such a big writer for them for years, and Tina Fey.
I didn't realize he was almost like a step down. Him and Tina Fey, pretty much dominated with him. So hopefully, imagine he gets the Lorne Michaels job, and you're boys with him, and you've been doing this. We're going.
Dude, those are tough tickets to get. That's a tough ticket to get.
It's a very tough ticket. Nice. All right. Well, have a great day today. Everybody have a great day. Baseball's going strong. We need likes and subscribes. You guys did a good job yesterday. I think we kind of scolded everybody to get some more subscribers. We got some more. We need to keep moving. We need
keep moving. Keep telling your friends, your family. Don't forget, Sean Casey signed Yankees jersey.
Let's go.
With Mantle and Jeter's number 72 together.
Let's go.
4,000 subscribers. Let's keep pushing the envelope, guys. Subscribe, download. Thanks, brother. Hey, Gigi, have a great day, man. Everyone out there, thanks for listening to the mayor's office. Catch everybody tomorrow.